All over scripture this morning. Last week we looked at, and I used one of my points was on the dynamic duo, and this morning I want to just share on the dynamic duo. And I want to expand, or however you want to say that, but O.S. Guinness said this: the story of Christian Reformation, revival, and Renaissance underscores that the darkest hours often just before the dawn. So we should always be people of hope and prayer, not gloom and defeatism. God the Holy Spirit can turn the situation around in an instant. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any of you ever heard of John Hyde? Not a clue who John Hyde is. John Hyde was a man of God. He loved God and he felt called to be a missionary. So way back in 1892, John Hyde decided that he was going to go to India. And at that time in the 1890s, John Hyde was only one of five missionaries in India. And John Hyde decided that he was going to go and he was going to win all of India for Jesus Christ. So in 1892, as he traveled to India and he went there and he began to try and convert the Indian people, to Jesus Christ. By 1902, he realized something. He'd been there 10 years, that he wasn't winning the world for Jesus Christ. You know, I've shared before that, you know, the expectation of some pastors is, we're going to go into a community and I'm going to win the whole community for Jesus Christ. You know, that's really an unrealistic expectation unless you have God behind it, right? And in some ways, it is really an unrealistic expectation. And John Hyde had a unrealistic expectation that he was going to win all of India to Jesus Christ. And so, about 1908, he was on his knees one day and he was praying and God told him, he said, there's something that's missing in your life. And that was the power of prayer. And one of the things that John Hyde learned was that he needed to pray. And he said, you know, with me, in my own power, it's impossible. But with God and through prayer, he began to believe that God would someday help him to win at least one soul to Jesus Christ. So John Hyde had been on the mission field for a long time, right? 1992, 1908. So we're talking what? 16 years he'd already, and not one soul he had won to Jesus Christ. And so that day as he was on his knees, he began to pray and he began to ask God. He said, God, what should I do? And he heard the still small voice of God say, why don't you ask me to give you one soul today? John Hyde, he thought about it for a moment. He went, just one soul, one soul, one soul. So the very next day as John Hyde got up, he prayed to God. He said, today, God, give me one soul. Give me one soul today. That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? But also it takes a lot on our part to be able to understand what God can do and will do if you are a willing vessel to be used, right? To be used by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. As John began to pray this prayer every day, Lord, give me one soul. Lord, give me one soul. John Hyde found himself in this position. Every day, one soul was coming to Jesus Christ. And between 1908 and 1909, John Hyde led over 400 people to Jesus Christ. So God gave him more than one soul. So here in India, right? We know that India is the land of millions and millions of people. In 1908, there had to be a lot less, I understand, but there was a lot of people. 400 people came to know Jesus Christ. And as John Hyde came to that date when he began to pray that, he said, okay, God, he said, I'm gonna trust you and I'm gonna have faith in you. And he said, you know what I'm gonna ask you for? I'm gonna ask you for 2 souls a day. Guess what happened in 1909? 800 people came to know Jesus Christ. As 1910 rolled around, John Hyde was in his prayer closet and he was praying and he was praying fervently and he said, God, give me souls, oh God, or I die. Give me souls, God. And so that year, 1910, he asked God and he said, God, I'm going to ask you to double what I've been praying for. I'm going to ask you to give me 4 souls a day. And nothing less, God, nothing less than 4 souls a day. And you know what? That year, 1,600 people came to know Jesus Christ. If you look this up, this is documented. 1,600 people came to know Jesus Christ. A few years later, John Hyde died, and they were... His family was curious why he died, so they did an autopsy. And the doctor found that John Hyde's heart had shifted from where it should be to this side. And you know, it's when legends are born, you know how legends are born, right? Some big, you know, they make something up. The doctors had no explanation for why his heart shifted over to the other side. But many began to say it's because he prayed for people and God shifted his heart, shifted his mind, and shifted his soul to win souls for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How amazing is that to have that heart and that soul? You know what they used to call John Hyde? They used to call him Praying John Hyde. How many of you would have the only Praying Joni Tory? Right?
I pray, but I don't get that.
Wouldn't you love, I mean, you know, sometimes we go like, hey, Sister Lisa, how you doing? Wouldn't it be great? How you doing, Sister Praying Lisa? Yeah. You know, I've been having you tap the top of the, I've been asking you to, I don't know how many of you have been faithful, but to tap the top of the door as you're going out. Right, to signify to God that you're ready to reach our community for Jesus Christ. But can you imagine if you began to pray? One soul today, God, one soul today. What a difference you could make. Just one soul today. See, John Hyde is that amazing example to us. There are many more examples. All we have to do is look in the Bible to see the examples. But you know how those who reach Jesus for those who reach Jesus, reach people for Jesus, you know what their key is? The key is prayer. That they pray, that they're willing to pray. When you are compelled to tell others about Jesus, prayer is the key God has given you to unlock the doors of opportunity and to allow you to walk right into your divine appointment. Have you ever thought of your life as being one divine appointment? Come on. What are you talking about? Well, your life truly is a divine appointment in other people's lives. How you can walk into somebody's people's life in an instant, if you believe it, right? If you believe in an instant, some person's life could change and come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. But see, that takes obedience. That takes obedience on our part. It takes obedience on our part to be faithful. It takes obedience on our part to say, God, I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to say, give me one soul. And then to be faithful to saying, okay, God, I will be faithful to listen to who you're going to set up, that divine appointment that you're going to set up in my life today. I tell you the story of my cousin Kevin, or my cousin, my neighbor Kevin. I was thinking about my cousin this morning. My neighbor Kevin. he came over. He was outside and I was out messing with, I think I was mowing that day. It was on Friday. You know, if you want stuff to grow, all you got to do is add a little fertilizer. I decided, oh, it's time to fertilize my yard, right? My grass, so it'll... Well, yeah, now like in 3 days, it's like this tall, and I'm like going, let's get the hay bales out, right? And so I'm out there, and I'm trying to mow my lawn, and Kevin comes out, and he says, well, we're going to leave. We got to go back to Iowa. He grew up in Iowa. We grew up in northern Minnesota, and... And he said, you know what, my brother-in-law died, so we're going to go back. Will you watch our house? He says, my daughter's going to come in from time to time. And I said, of course I will. We'll keep an eye on it, make sure that everything's okay. And for the first time, I said, can I pray with you? Right? Divine appointment, doors of opportunity. Come on. Divine appointment, doors of opportunity. Prayed with him. He said, we're going to be gone. We got to go clean out his house because he didn't leave a will. He didn't leave nothing, and he's got junk everywhere. You see, prayer can break down any obstacle, open any door, and change any circumstance. I've told you before, I believe that Zach, even though he's gone through so much, he is where he is today because of you guys' prayers and our prayers and the people praying around the world, right? Because prayer changes circumstances. And prayer changes people and gives you opportunity. If I ask you this question, who's on your list you are praying for who needs Jesus Christ? Who's on your list?
Family.
Sister, family, your kids. Who else? Come on, who are you praying for?
All my friends in the orchard.
All your friends in the orchard?
Grandkids.
Your grandkids?
Our church and the president.
Okay. Who else? Terry.
My church family.
Mm-hmm. Who else? How about your current family, right?
Yeah, my current family, my extended family, and my church family. Mm-hmm. Well, my friends.
Your who? Okay.
You know, that are fighting amongst themselves.
Mm-hmm. Who are you praying for? All your neighbors?
Oh, and my neighbors too.
Yeah. Have you thought about that? Just take a moment. Because you know why I'm asking that question? Because I feel it's important for you to speak it. Come on.
Amen.
You need to speak it. You need to speak and say, this is who I'm praying for, Father God. Right? I speak forth that Tristan's life will be changed at camp this week in Jesus' name. That's my prayer. Come on. So, if you don't speak it, and see, our part in prayer is when we speak it to God. Well, God knows what's in my mind anyway, so why do I need to speak it?
You know, Pastor, I was praying that I could touch one person through my prayers and believing. And I do have to say that I believe it's true because my sister, who's not a believer, she's asked me 2 or 3 times for prayers, to, you know, ask the church to pray for that. And she's not a believer, and I see it like that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And for her to even come to me to ask that, it's got to be hard for her to do that.
So now you need to speak forth and you need to say, listen, one soul, what's her name?
Sue.
Today, Father, help me lead Sue to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because she says that she don't go to church. And I always tell her that, you know, about going to church and giving her tithes. But she's like, her children are her tithes. She gives to the children. And I'm like,
You know, that's
my personal, you know, prospect on it, that you can't stop praying, you've got to keep praying. Even when your prayers don't get answered, don't give up.
You know what a professor in college once told me? This was a long time ago. He said, you may pray one day or 50 years for someone, but the day that they accept Jesus Christ will change not only their life, but your life. Come on. Get the happy feet and smile all over your face. Somebody came to know Jesus. Somebody came to know Jesus. And we get excited. You see, what happens when you pray? Well, my life, my experience, nothing. Well, then you're not having the right experience. Come on. Josephine, how many times have you prayed and God's answered prayers? Right? Come on, right? Does that excite your heart or do we just forget? You know, a lot of times we just forget, right? What God has done. Why do we celebrate communion? Because we are remembering what God has done.
Can I share something?
Yes.
Before I came to know Jesus, you know, my mom used to tell me and my
kids, speak loud.
But mostly it was Ryan when he was a baby. Let's go to church. And when we started going and the Lord healed my hand, a few days after, he gave me a vision. And he said, you know how much I love you. That I gave my blood for you. And he showed me. And after that, I said, sorry, Father, I love you and I will love you forever and ever.
Amen. See, coming to that place, right? Understanding that when you pray, that God is there and that things happen when you pray. Because God hears our prayers. Somebody say amen. God hears our prayers. I believe that God has a hotline for every one of us and hears our prayers. If we believe, then we learn to pray boldly, consistently, because it could make an eternal difference in a person's life. It could make a difference in your life, whoever's life you're praying. When we pray for the sick, if God answers that prayer and the sick are made well, it's made a difference.
Amen.
You get excited. You get excited. God says, I will use you. He goes, listen. This morning, I want to give you four spectacular things that happen when the component of prayer begins to be activated in your life. How do you want to? Do you want to be like John Hyde and your heart shifts? Who knows why his heart shifted? Many believe it's because he had such a heart for people and he had such a heart for prayer. But we must understand that complacency and apathy have no place in our hearts of those whose lives have been changed radically through Jesus Christ. Let me use the two words, complacency and apathy. We cannot have complacency and we cannot have apathy when we have Jesus in our heart. Because can you pop all the way back up to the first one, to the O.S. Guinness, the first slide? Look here. There's four words: hope and prayer, gloom and defeatism. We can either walk in gloom and defeatism, or we can walk in hope and prayer. Come on. We should always be people of hope and prayer. Because God, the Holy Spirit, can turn the situation around in an instant. See, that's believing. That's trusting in God. Because we have been radically changed. And we must carry a deep concern for those around us. Whether they come to us and they ask for prayer and we lay our hands on them and we pray for them, or we're praying for their very souls if they don't know Jesus Christ. Because when you pray earnestly for people who need salvation, something begins to shift in your heart. So we're going to look at Paul for just a little bit, okay? Paul said this in Romans 10:1. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. What was his prayer? He wanted all of the Israelites to be saved. He wanted all of them to come to know Jesus Christ. Now look what he says. If you have your Bible, you can go here, or your phone or whatever. In Romans 9, verses 3 and 4, in Romans chapter 9, verses 3 and 4, Paul says this. He says, "For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs is the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises." Now, you could just read that, right? And you could overlook the stunning statement that Paul makes, right? For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ. What is he saying? He is saying that he would go to hell. Come on. He would go to hell if it were for the sake of his people. If all of Israel would come to know Jesus Christ, what would he do? He would go to hell for them. That is a radical, stunning statement. That is a position, that's a shifted heart. That is a heart that's saying, other people are more important than myself. I can't stand here this morning and say I would do that. I love people. I love you. I love God. I love people. But to say I would rather be cursed and have all of you go to heaven than for me not to, I don't know if I'm in that spot yet. And I doubt that all of us here are in that spot yet. It's what are we looking forward to? We're looking forward to the day that we get to be in heaven, that we get to be in our mansion in heaven, that we get to walk on the golden streets, right? And we get to be at the throne and we get to worship God and we wouldn't it be awesome if your neighbor was there along with you? Or your coworker? In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Paul says this, "Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery for which ages past has kept hidden in God who created all things." You see that word grace? Paul's call is through this grace. You see it? You see it? This grace that was given. We have this grace that God has given us. Go down to Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. Paul writes, "James, Caiaphas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized," here it is again, right? "The grace given to me." The grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. In 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul urged us to pray for all the people. He says, "I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for" what? "For all people. For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants" what? "All people to be saved." Wants all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's Jesus is the knowledge of truth, right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the all who come unto me we'll be saved, right? Come on, we'll be saved. All who come on to him. See, that's a heart shift. Have you ever wanted to share your faith with somebody, but you felt as if there was this wall standing between you? You know what I found out? I am much more bolder to share Jesus with others than my family. Right? Come on. It is much easier to share Jesus Christ with, in my opinion, maybe yours is different. Maybe you go, no, I can. But sometimes when, like my brother, for instance, right? He needs Jesus Christ. But when I want to share Jesus, this wall comes up, right? Where I find it hard and I find it difficult to talk to him about God, talk to him about Jesus Christ, to talk to him about how he needs a Savior. And I have to push myself, I have to climb myself over that wall to be able to talk to him. And if we don't push ourselves, and if we don't climb over the wall, we will be stuck behind the wall, and we will keep our mouth shut, and we will say nothing. I know that. Been there, done that, right? Been there, done that. That's right, amen. Sometimes we have lots of other feelings when we that keep us from talking about Jesus Christ, but I look at that wall and I have to pray. I say, wall, come down in Jesus' name. Wall, come down in Jesus' name. Make me bold, God. Make me bold. Turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Paul is talking to the Colossian church. I want you to open up your Bible. Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Key words, right? If you're not watchful in prayer, if you're not, then you're going to miss divine opportunities. You're going to miss divine opportunities to pray. You're going to miss divine opportunities to touch people's lives. You may not realize that unless God is showing you that when you come into people's lives and the things you say to people radically can change something in their life. Because you've said, my goodness, Cheryl, you look amazing today. So good to see you, right? She may have had the worst week, and she may feel like nothing. But today you've walked into her life, and you've all of a sudden done something. What have you done? You've given her life. You've given her encouragement. You've given her some. You said, man, so good to see you, sister, today. And all of a sudden, she gets excited, right? She gets excited. I don't know what it is about Barb and Doug, but they have like 10 kids back there today. Hallelujah! Yeah, me too. You see, not picking on you, Mikey, but it's your job. It's your job. Those kids, right? Church, raise them up. Let them hear Jesus Christ.
That's what I told my granddaughter today. I said, you look in church, every child here to live with their grandparents. When I told that to Daniel, he goes,
I've told you this before. When I tell you what, when those kids come out of that classroom after church, each and every one of you should be over there hugging each and every one of them kids, telling them how grateful that they are here today. Amen. And their moms and the ones who brought them. Grandpa, I mean, come on. You know what? The world is telling them the church is a bad place. We need to tell them that church is a good place.
Amen.
I know you've... You know, we use the analogy that the church is just a place where a whole bunch of hypocrites go, but the world really is looking at us. They're looking at us, at how we act and who we are. And is God really working in our life? Because, see, I forgot. Verse 3. He says, and pray for us. Pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for that which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, that we proclaim this, that we proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, that we proclaim the good news, because prayer is the key to opening new doors of opportunity to share the gospel. Prayer demonstrates to God our willingness to be used as vessels. And when we pray, I believe God will respond in a powerful way by opening doors of opportunities that we've never had before. Every neighbor that around us, you know, knows about that Zach's in the hospital. Amy, they've been over there, and every time I see them, they talk to me. I have doors of opportunity that I have to walk through. Amy walks through doors of opportunity. Amy and Zach over at the cancer center, right? To talk to people about Jesus Christ. Whatever the door of opportunity is, we need to be willing to walk through that door. And we need to be willing to say, God, let me see the door. Let me see the door. Because a lot of times the door is there, but we can't see it. Because we haven't asked for it. We haven't spoke it. We haven't asked God in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when you pray, prayer gives you boldness. Because when doors of opportunity open, we walk through them. I was tempted to use the word charge, and I'm going to charge, but we should charge through those doors. When God unfolds a divine appointment, we can't hesitate. We have to take advantage of it. We have to seize the day, carpe diem, right? We have to seize the day. Because what happened after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples? In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The place they met was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. What changed?
Prayer.
Prayer changed. They prayed and they began to believe, and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit came and they began to speak. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul said this. He said, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Because you know what? Prayer changes us from the inside out to fearlessly become bold in our faith. Because prayer will give you the words to say. In Isaiah chapter 50, if you want to go to Isaiah, I would challenge you to underline this, highlight it, or whatever. In Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 and 5, Isaiah says this. He says, the sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue. Have you ever prayed that in the morning or whenever? God, will you give me a well-instructed tongue today? I saw that. I said, that's a new one. I'm going to have to pray that. Lord, give me a well-instructed tongue today. To know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me in the morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen to like one being instructed. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears. I have not been rebellious. I have not turned away. What an incredible promise, right, from in Isaiah. This is the type of divine instruction. It comes because we're obedient and we're listening to God. Because God will instruct you when to speak and when to listen. He also minister and speak life into you when you need it most. And when you need him to lead you. Because we now come to the Holy Spirit. A lot of times the Holy Spirit is our forgotten friend. How many of you ever been stranded on the side of the road, ran out of gas, or something happened to your car? You ever had that happen to you? What if you were stranded one day and you had your very good friend Chuck Norris there? Anybody remember who Chuck Norris is? I saw him on the History Channel the other day, and even though they had his face and his hair dyed really black, he was still old. And I think that he could kick a few you-know-whats still, even as old as he is. But what if you had a friend with you that was powerful like Chuck Norris, and you were stranded in this part of town that you were very uncomfortable with, and you didn't want to walk to the gas station by yourself because... And you know, oh yeah, I have Chuck Norris with me. You know, the Holy Spirit is much greater than Chuck Norris. The Holy Spirit is much better than Chuck Norris. You see, when the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is in you, it changes who we are. I've been stuck in lots of icky places, and I've just trusted God. I mean, when we lived in Minneapolis on Chicago Avenue in those apartments, that was the most scariest place I've ever. I mean, I grew up in northern Minnesota, right? We grew up out in the sticks. And here I found myself on Chicago Avenue, one of the worst areas of Minneapolis. The school was there. That's where the school was. You take a farm boy and bring him to the inner city, you know what? There's some stress issues. But you know what kept me there? What kept me there was the very fact that I knew that God had called me and that God was calling me and that God had a plan and that God was going to work out that plan, whether or not I felt like I could walk with my family down the street or not. That I knew that God was with me, the Holy Spirit was inside of me, and that I could do this. And with the Holy Spirit inside of you, you can do this. You can be changed. Because you know what? God, the living God, will empower you and encourage you, enable you. Three cool words, write them down. He will empower you, he will encourage you, and he will enable you. Three life-changing words. He will change you to deliver his message. In Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said this. He said, when you are brought before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. You know what this does? This lifts the burden off us unto God, because God is there with us. You know what God does? He empowers us, he encourages us, and he enables us. So what does the Holy Spirit do? A couple quick things. One, two, three, four quick things, and then we're done. He prepares. He prepares us. Right now, the Holy Spirit is working amidst in your heart, right there in the midst of your heart, right where you are. I hope, you know what my prayer was this morning? That he's stirring your heart. that you're not thinking that this morning that this is just one boring message and you're waiting to get out of here. But that the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart so that you will be ready to say, okay, I'm not only am I going to tap the door on the way out, I am going to say, Lord, give me one soul today. And then you're obedient to that. Because the big question is, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare you right now? Is today's message, are you seeking God to help you change in your thinking and your habits? Because you know what has to change? Our thinking and our habits. Our thinking and our habits have to change us. We have to allow the Holy Spirit inside us to change our thinking and to change our habits. Because when we do that, He positions us. See, when you're encouraged, you feel good, right? When you're yelled at, right? Not so good. How many of you would rather be encouraged than yelled at? Come on. Yeah. You know what the Holy Spirit inside you never does? He never yells at you. You know what He does? He encourages you. Just like a friend who may call out of the blue and encourage you. Or a stranger shows you kindness. Have you ever had a stranger give kindness to you? Or maybe you receive something you haven't asked for. You know, the world thinks that this is just coincidence. But I believe that it's more than that. It's God. That it's God. That it's God's divine appointment. That when specific things and incidents happen, that it's God. It's something that you needed. Come on. Yeah. On Sunday mornings, when you all walk in the door, right? I need that. I hope you need that too. Right? When you walk in the door and I see all those kids back there. I need that. That's a joy. Josephine walks in and says, my back hurts. Will you pray for me? Hallelujah. Yes. Well, no, Josephine, not today. I'm not going to pray for your back. You really don't deserve it today, so I'm not going to pray for you. No, right? What do? We get the oil out and we anoint her in the name of Jesus Christ. We expect God for a miracle to bring health to that area of the back that needs help. There's so much more. I mean, people all around us, people here in this room need help in some way. You may not show it, but you need it. You may not ask for it, but you need it. Sometimes you just need to start speaking. What do you need today? The Holy Spirit is here. The whole power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is here today. What do you need today? What do you need to be? Sometimes we set thinking and habits in our mind and in our life for so long we can't break them, and we just need to break them. And we need others to help pray and break them. And we need the power and the presence. We need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need, you see, when you get saved, you have that you get the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need to rely on the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit empowers us, right? He empowers us. When I was a kid, my dad was buying the fireworks. I don't like buying fireworks now because they're way too expensive. But I sure loved it when my dad was buying them. Right? He used to buy these things called M80s. You ever heard of an M80? It's 1/4 stick of dynamite. Kaboom. Right? Kaboom. Uh-huh. Very loud. We used to blow things up, right? One time we blew our neighbor's mailbox up. That didn't go too well. You know why? Because it was only the Rochek kids that had the good fireworks, because my dad loved fireworks, right? Had to be one of the Rochek boys. Unfortunately, I was a part of that. But Jesus, in the book of Acts, he uses the word for power. You know what that word is? It's dunamis. Dunamis in the English means dynamite. And if you are saved, you have dynamite inside of you. Yes. Yeah, come on. Yes. You have dynamite inside of you. You have dunamis. You have the power and the presence of God inside of you. You know what? You can do all things through Christ, right? Because you have dunamis inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. And we need dynamite in our lives. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives because it enables us. It enables us to share. To not only share our faith, but to share our love and to serve and to do, be obedient to God, all kinds of stuff. We need that. Here's the last one. He comforts us. John 14:26 says, and Jesus said this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Other translations use words like helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, and strengthener. You need the Holy Spirit activated in your life. Because see, sometimes the Holy Spirit just stays dormant. We don't need the Holy Spirit to stay dormant inside of us. We need this Holy Spirit to go, boom! That wakes somebody up. We need the Holy Spirit to go, boom! We need the dynamic duo, right? Pow! Ka-kunk! What did Batman and all those... Pow! I can't remember all the words. Remember they used to always come up in a little thing on TV? Kapow, wham, bang, pow.
Miss.
Zowie. Yeah, Zowie, yeah. And we need the dynamic duo in our life. We do. We need. And I hope that each and every one of you will activate the dynamic duo in your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Will you do something for me this week and beyond, hopefully? In the morning when you get up, and if you're like me, you plop your feet over the side of the bed, and you're sitting here on the side of the bed, and you're going like, I wish I could just sleep for another hour. Just 5 minutes, right? As you're sitting there and you're trying to shake, sometimes I wish I was like Jimmy, right? Our little Jimmy. Every time when he gets up in the morning, you know what he does? He loves to shake his big floppy ears, right? It must. The slapping of the ears on the side of the head must wake him up or something. I don't know. Maybe I need longer ears. They say when you get older, they do tend to migrate down. So, but just take a moment and say, God, it's just me, your servant. Will you help me reach one soul for Jesus today? And if nothing happens in 5 days, don't just stop. Oh, Pastor Darrell was wrong. It took 30 years before my parents came to know Jesus Christ. It took 10 years before my brother-in-law came to know Jesus Christ. 5 years later, he died. Right? Lord, help me today reach one soul for Jesus Christ. Lord, help me be obedient to divine opportunities and open doors. And you know what? I believe that God is going to change your life when you see the divine opportunities and the open doors begin to happen. And you're going to get excited and you're going to come to me and you're going to go, Pastor, you can't believe this. Because you know what I'm doing this morning? I'm shifting the responsibility on you, right? Because the responsibility was yours all along and mine, right? It's our responsibility to win the world for Jesus Christ. Just one soul. Can you imagine if each and every one of us won one soul to Jesus? So, 365. Who's smart here? Who knows math? Get your calculator out, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 21. 21 times 365, what is that? Oh, we got Tony this morning. Who's got the calculator? Huh? Almost 7,000 people. That would be just in 1 year. What if we won half of that? You'd be going like, look at what God's doing. Look what God's doing. That's it. I can't dance anymore. I can't do it. Huh? 3,500 people. Wow. Can you get excited this morning? Are you sitting there going, Pastor Darrell's crazy in Loka La Cabeza? I hope you get excited. I hope you get excited. Will you stand as we close this morning? If you can.